Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Flood and the Takings Clause Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 3, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Arkansas Game and Fish Commission versus United States. The question in this case is whether government action that permits recurring flood invasions of a state wildlife management area with resulting damage to timber contained therein must be an action of permanent character to give rise to a takings claim for just compensation. To discuss the case, we have Richard Epstein, professor at New York University School of Law, and professor emeritus at the University of Chicago Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Epstein.
Hello, everybody. This is Richard Epstein. I am the Lawrence A. Tisch and the James Parker Hall Distinguished Service Professor of Law Emeritus and Senior Fellow at the University of Chicago. Over my career, I've spent a great deal of time talking about the law of takings, and today it's my pleasure to talk about a very interesting case that has just come before the Supreme Court called the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission versus the United States, in which the issue was what is the elusive boundary that should be placed between a tort, which is actionable against a private party, but against which the government has all sorts of privileged defenses, and a taking, which is in fact actionable against the government because the constitutional protection of just compensation against takings for public use is something that cannot be overridden by statute. In this particular context, the case is one that involved a conscious decision by the United States to manage water flow in the Black River. And the question was, when it's decided to control the operations, it would periodically release water from behind the dam. It would surge downstream by over 100 miles and land squarely and flatly in lands that were owned by the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. And in this particular case, the timber damage was in the neighborhood of about $4 million. And the question was whether or not the damage is permanent, but the flooding was intermittent. Is the United States liable to pay damages for compensation for a taking when it would not be liable to pay them for a tort? And in dealing with this particular question, it turns out that the entire repertoire of tort and takings type arguments gets reviewed by one or the other parties to the litigation. And so if you just look at the kinds of issues that are raised, they all have this kind of very difficult quality associated with them in which there are no bright lines that anybody could understand. So on the government side, they said, look, if it's a temporary taking, it turns out that no compensation is required. If it turns out that the damages are incidental to some lawful government activity, then there's no compensation that's required. If it turns out that the particular parties who are injured are not targeted by the government, then there's no compensation. If it turns out that the damage is downstream rather than upstream flooding behind the dam, then no compensation is going to be open. If it turns out it's isolated and intermittent, no compensation is owing if it turns out that the damages turn out to be permanent. So there are a lot of very kind of complicated arguments made one way or another as to whether these damages are or are not going to fall within the ambit. And what happened is there was just a very deep disagreement of opinion on the facts between the trial court, which ordered compensation, and the Federal Circuit, which decided that none was owing. When the case got to the Supreme Court, the lawyer for the Arkansas firm, Mr. Goodhart, comes forward, and what he does is a pretty credible job trying to constantly impress upon them that the key feature in this particular case that distinguishes it from some earlier cases of temporary takings is though the intrusion of the water may have been only temporary, the damage to the root system of trees that had to be cut down was in fact very, very permanent, and therefore one should put this on the permanent side of the line, judging the case by virtue of its consequences rather than by virtue of its antecedents. And then on the other side, Mr. Needler, who is in fact a very experienced Deputy Solicitor General for the United States, took exactly the opposite position and said, nope, in these particular circumstances, if it turns out that the government is acting under a circumstances where it's trying to manage a very complicated ecosystem with floodwaters and it engages in only temporary damages, the whole matter should really be resolved to the political process where all the individual players have a right to participate, but nobody has a right to compensation unless there's been a permanent occupation of the land. That was the way in which the argument started to go. My own reading about it is that Mr. Needler actually got a more hostile reception on this particular point than did the arguments that were made by Mr. Goodhart for the Arkansas Commission. And I think the explanation for it was not so much on the technicalities of the statutes, but because in the battle of analogies and in the battle of principle, people thought that the judges on the Supreme Court who spoke were generally more sympathetic to and in favor of the particular arguments that have been put forward by the commission. As I do my body count on this, Justice Roberts, I think, was extremely aggressive and strongly in favor of the Arkansas Commission. His basic position was that the government is coming along. There are all sorts of ways that you could flatten somebody, and if they would decide that they were going to cut down the trees in order to build some kind of a dam, you would not want them to say that they could get away with the same damage, causing it by water instead of causing it by an axe. And Justice Scalia chimed in on this point and announced that he thought it was extremely unfair that the government, by directing the water in one place instead of another, could make one individual bear the particular harm which he thought in truth and justice should be brought by the society at large. I think that all of these sentiments were echoed in greater or lesser degree by Justices Alito and by Justice Kennedy. I also think that if you looked into it, Justice Breyer, who was a little bit closer to the fence, in the end thought that there was a great deal of sympathy for saying that the United States, by its own strategic decisions, knowing what happens and doing it year after year, can in effect force the losses on one person. Justice Ginsburg, I think in the end, her position was that the permanent nature of the harm would probably be the decisive feature in this particular case, and the only justice who seemed to express any degree of ambivalence about the issue was Justice Sotomayor, who had several times announced that she was really quite confused by the set of arcane distinctions that had been put forward and had yet to make up her mind. Justice Kagan recused herself from the case, and Justice Clarence Thomas maintained his customary silence. So if I had to predict the outcome of the case, I would say it would be something like in the order of 6-2, 7-1, maybe even 8-0. I don't think it's very likely, given the way the arguments went, that it will come out the other way. What's interesting about the case conceptually is that the reason why everybody had such terrible difficulties in deciding where this particular line should be drawn is that nobody had a very strong explanation as to why the line should be drawn at all. So to put it in another fashion, if this were an action that were brought against a private party, everybody would understand that you'd have to pay compensation for the flooding if you can show that there was a substantial invasion by water that came down from the government's operations and damaged the land owned by the Arkansas Commission. And so long as the invasion was substantial, and so long as, in fact, you can show that the harm was attributable to those invasions, it would be a rather straightforward two-party tort case. And so the question is, why is the government is going to get the benefit of immunization from the kind of conduct which would trigger the very kind of compensation that the plaintiff wants to get? And if you go back to the earlier cases on this stuff, the explanations for this are stunningly thin. There is a statement in one of the cases that were talked about here, a case called Sanguinetti, and what happens is Justice Frankfurter wrote a very thoughtful opinion in a case where there was a permanent flooding, saying, if you look at this kind of a situation, it's in the nature of a servitude which is taken by the federal government for its own use. A servitude is a property interest. It's one that's possessed by the government, and so therefore compensation is owing. But one of the problems with this argument is it now looks at the situation from the point of view of whether or not the government has derived a property interest, and somehow or other seems to say that if the government's interest is the greater facility of its own operations by having more flexibility, that's the kind of benefit that doesn't take taken into account. Whereas everybody working within the framework of the tort system would say, we don't care what the nature of the particular benefit that you get. If it's a strict liability system, you're going to be responsible regardless of whether or not there was an intention to injure or even some negligence. And if it's a negligence system, you run a straight cost-benefit analysis, and whether you call it a servitude or ease in operations, it's not going to change the calculus very much. And I must say, that's the way my own views go. If I had my, as it were, first best alternative, I would say that the government is entitled to discretion in those cases in which it's doing the kinds of things for which either you give people discretion or they won't do it at all. So you get discretion if the decision is whether or not to admit a new drug into the market or to keep it out if you happen to be the FDA. But if the government is running ordinary operations and is trying to get benefits for one group of people and give harms to another, I don't see why that's any different from any private proprietor doing exactly the same thing with lands that it happens to own. So my view is that the correct test is that whenever it is that a private party would be required to pay damages to a group of strangers, the government should be put under an analogous set of operations. That makes this whole issue, in effect, completely disappear and makes it, I think, a lockshot case for the individuals in the Arkansas Commission. But what happens is the law isn't worded that way. And I think what therefore will take place is that they will fasten on the permanent damage caused by a temporary intrusion and treat that as a servitude enough like situation to say that the damages will in fact be rewarded. So the prediction here is that the distinction will survive, the opinion will necessarily be muddy, but in the end my guess is that the decision that was made in the Federal Circuit will be reversed.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.